Yeah, we'll quickly see the second one, the Shiva Manasa Puja. That's like, it's written by Shankaracharya, and it's a very very small simple work, having five shlokas, and it speaks about like how a person has to do like Manasa Puja. It's like Manasa Puja of Shiva. That's why it's called Shiva Manasa Puja. That means like this is something which you can use for regular contemplation, focusing your mind, and like for meditation purpose you can use it. So it's a quite descriptive one that Shankara gives here, like many of his other works. The first three shlokas are like descriptions about what all are present, whereas the last two shlokas, and specifically the fourth shloka, speaks about what is the attitude a person needs to have. That is a summarizing of like what a person needs to really do, how a person needs to react or act in the world while doing various activities. And the last shloka is a kind of total offering to Ishvara. So the word Shiva, the word Shiva means like a person who is bright. So it is from, if I am right and my memory doesn't fail me, then it is from a Dhatu which means bright, Shva or something like that. So Shiva is a person who is bright, luminous. So Shiva is like the only luminous entity in the world is the Atman. Yadadityagatam tejo jagadbhasate kilam yachandramasi yachagnau tat tejo vidhimamakam. Similarly, like there are many shlokas, natatra suryo bhati na chandra tarakam naima vidyuto bhanti kutoyam agni tameva bhantam ajabhati sarvam tasya bhasa sarvedam vibhati. Like there the sun doesn't shine, neither the moon nor the stars or any other thing, and it is due to it's following the light of the Atman that everything else shines, and therefore like it's the Atman that is the light of all lights. So there is a beautiful bhajan of Amma in Malayalam which says that kadinnu kadai manasin manasai. So it means that you are the ear of the ear, the eye of the eye, and etc. etc. Mind of the mind. This is explained in depth in the first chapter of the Keno Upanishad, where it says like it speaks about each entity. Yen manasa na manute yena manu ahur matam. So yen manasa na manute, that which cannot be reached by the mind, thought by the mind, but that which makes the mind think. Tadeva brahmatvam viddi. Know that alone to be Brahman. Tadeva brahmatvam viddi. Na idam yad idam upasati. And not like what people mention to practice or mention to meditate as this. If somebody says that practice this, then know that that is not Brahman. What is Brahman? Brahman is that which is the mind of the mind, which is beyond the mind, which the sense organs, the organs of perception as well as organs of action cannot reach, and like that which cannot be illuminated by the mind or the prana, but it is the power behind all these. That is the Atman. So that Atman which illumines everything, ranging from the illusory world to the, like we can say, to Ishvara. Ishvara or one who creates, the creator Brahma or the Trimurtis, Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva, or like the Devas, or and like in all beings which are either living or non-living, everything is illumined by the light of the Atman. That is because the Atman is the only reality. So Deva Samyedam Agre Asit Ekameva Advitiyam. To Shvetaketu, his father Uddalaka explains that Sadeva Saumya Idam Agre Asi Ekameva Advitiyam. Oh dear, like there was Sat alone, existence alone existed before creation. And how was it? Ekam eva advitiyam. One alone, without any differences. This is the same thing that is explained in again in the Brihadaranyakam as well as Kathopanishad, that manasai vedam aptavyam neha nanasti kinchana. This, the reality of Brahman has to be known through the mind. And what is the reality? What is the truth that has to be known through the mind? Neha nanasti kinchana. There is no duality, even very little, kinchana, not even little bit, like we don't need to have any doubt that there is duality here. There is no duality at all. Mrityosa mrityam apnoti yaiha naneva pashyati. Yaiha naneva pashyati. But those who see duality as if existing, that means those people who consider the duality as real, mrityosa mrityam apnoti, they go for, they attain death again and again. That means they get like whirled in the whirlpool of like birth and death. They are again born, they again die. So there is only one reality which illumines everything. Which illumines everything means like whatever appears to exist, because there is no duality at all. Whatever exists is only one entity. But if we see different things, if we see the duality as existing, that duality is also illumined by the same Atman, same Brahman. It is only an illusion of name and names and forms in the reality of Brahman. And that Brahman, which is self-luminous as well as which illumines everything else, that is denoted by the word Shiva. So Shiva Manasa Puja. Manasa Puja means we, though the reality is that there is only one entity here and the duality is only an illusion, but in order to realize that reality, we need to focus the mind. We need to, the mind which is extroverted, we have to make it introverted, make it like inwards, move towards the self. And this, the direct way is to see everything as one being or one entity, one Ishvara. Whether it is Sagunam or Nirgunam doesn't matter. You need to see everything as one. That means you are, from the Nanatvam, you are seeing Ekatvam. So Ekatvam in Nanatvam, or you are seeing like, it's like unity in diversity. You are seeing one entity in every, whatever you see. That is the direct path to realization. And when a person does that, his mind becomes focused. Focused mind is what is called as inward or introverted mind. In order to become focused, we need to have a particular form. Most of the people are unable to apprehend the formless reality. That which is formless cannot be thought about. That which is formless cannot be conceived. The only way to conceive it is conceive it as pervading the world. But such a notion is very tough to even apprehend in the intellect. So there is, so meditation on such a thing is still tougher. First you need to apprehend something in order to meditate, and then you have to meditate. But if you are not even able to apprehend, if it is tough to apprehend, then meditation is still tougher. So meditation is like a means of seeing everything as one particular form, and thereby like merging into the formless. So that means when you see multiple things as one form, and when you see everything as one form, then there is no everything, because that everything gets merged into that one form. And when there is only one form, there is no, you cannot, and that one form is pervasive, or which is present everywhere, then you cannot call it as a form. A form is something which is limited in space, but that which is all pervasive, that which pervades space and time, that cannot have any form. That has to be formless. Therefore, you first start from the dual world, you see duality, you have likes and dislikes. So you remove the duality by seeing one form in everything. When you see one form in everything, everything becomes one form. Everything merges into one form. That one form pervades everything. When that one form pervades everything, it becomes formless. That's how, like, that's the way of like meditation. And Manasa Puja, rather than doing like external or bahya puja, like a person does in the pujari does in a temple, manasa puja has its own strength. The main point is like the external puja that is done in a house, like the various like rituals or other things, as well as the puja done in the temple is for our surrounding. It is for getting a perfect ambience so that our mind can focus. But manasa puja, internal puja, like mental puja, is where like you focus the mind. When you focus the mind, when the mind gets focused, that is when it sees the non-dual reality in everything. Or either it sees the form, a particular form in everything, or it sees the formless as pervading everything. So when a person does manasa puja, it is as good as controlling the mind, diverting the mind, and making the mind inward towards the self. So this is a very beautiful work of Shankara. Since the PDF has like meaning in it, so there is not much to explain except the last two shlokas are very beautiful way. So the first shloka is the very very basic thing you have a person like when meditating is the form. So the first thing that you have to know is how is the God that I am meditating. So the first step, like if you have to meditate on something, you have to first get the form right. And that form, when you get that form right, you have to have lot of things. So here Shankara speaks about many things, like many decorations for the Lord, as well as if like the person does a lot of brings in a lot of items for the puja. Though Ishvara doesn't require anything, what he requires is like just pure bhakti. But still, since our mind is focused on different things, on different beautiful things, when we say something beautiful, we get attracted to it. Since our mind gets attracted to beautiful things, so we bring in all those beautiful things to which we are attracted and offer it to Ishvara. That means like in a way we are seeing all those things as part of Ishvara. When an entity becomes part of our puja, that means it becomes a part of the existence of the form Ishvara. That means like we offer it to Ishvara, we merge that entity into Ishvara. Let's say like I am offering a flower to Ishvara. That means the flower is different from Ishvara. There is Dvaitam there. But once I offer it, then the flower goes to Ishvara. Once it goes to Ishvara, then there is no duality because it has merged into Ishvara. That means like it is a symbolic way of telling that whatever I like beautiful, I merge it into Ishvara. So the simple way is to tell that, okay, see everything as Ishvara. But if you can't see everything as Ishvara, how can I see everything as Ishvara? Because different things have different qualities. So how can I see the laptop in front of me as Ishvara? How can I see the mic as Ishvara? How can I see the fan as Ishvara? Because it's illogical to see it that way. Then if it is illogical for you, if you are not able to understand that everything that you see is consciousness with a name and form, if you are not able to apprehend the reality that okay, whatever is seen is only in name and form of consciousness or Ishvara, then take all those entities and offer it to Ishvara. When you offer it to Ishvara, it goes and becomes one with Ishvara. When it becomes one with Ishvara, then there is no Dvaitam. That means you are indirectly removing the Namarupam and merging that with Ishvara. So that is the reason why like in most of the puja that we do, or Manasa puja at least, we need to make it as elaborate as well as descriptive as possible. Though Shankara might mention a lot of good things, descriptive things, like it's all up to us. Like if I have attraction towards something, then I should offer that to Ishvara. Another direct reason of like making the form of the Lord as well as the puja attractive with many attractive entities or things is in order to create interest in the person who is doing it. If Shiva, who is like who wears only deer skin and basma all over, who is unattractive, is like a person has to concentrate or meditate on such a Shiva, it would be a bit tough for people who are more attracted towards worldly things. So when the description becomes so beautiful, so you are so attracted to it, that particular form with such ornaments, with such description, that your mind naturally goes towards it. That is the reason why like most of the people are attracted to Krishna rather than Shiva or any other being, any other lord, because Krishna's form is so attractive. So like that is the reason, that's also the reason why in Manasa Puja, like, or in any other puja, the deity is decorated, well decorated, so that your focus doesn't go somewhere else. If you see a rock and if you see a beautiful girl or a handsome guy, your focus will go from the rock. You will not be able to focus on the rock. Therefore, like for people who are worldly, whose mind is not, who are not able to control their mind, the form of the Lord is explained or described beautifully so that their mind can dwell upon it. So the first thing, like as I said, like the first thing that has to be concentrated on while doing Manasa Puja is the form. And the form has to be as descriptive as possible. Though like there is no need for description or emphasis on the form. Like Shankara later in this work itself will say that, okay, we don't need to like really focus on the form. But focusing on the form is required so that our mind becomes concentrated. If our mind is able to concentrate without a form, that is the highest sadhana that a person can do. But most of us cannot even apprehend it, as I said. So you have to have a form. And when you have a form, you need to make it so descriptive so that, let's say you have to focus on something which is very simple, then your mind becomes focused soon, and then there are chances of getting diverted or distracted. But if something is a little bit complex and it requires your attention, full attention, then the mind will be so focused, really focused, because it knows that, okay, the moment or 1 second if I get distracted, then I'll go off board. So that is also like the reason why Shankara and all the forms of deities are like, we have to get it descriptive so that the more descriptive, the more complex, the more the concentrated or the more attention the mind gives. So Shankara's explanation is really beautiful, and this is sung in a particular tone. So the first shloka is like this.
Ratnaikalpitamasanam himajalaihi snanam cha divyambaram nanaratna vibhushitam mrigamada modankitam chandanam jati champakabilvapatra rachitam pushpam cha dupam tata deepam devadayanide pashupate hrikalpitam grihyatam. So ratnai kalpitam asanam. So like, O Lord, like I have created an asanam, a place for you to sit, which is filled with lot of precious stones. So the first thing, like if we have to imagine the Lord or Ishvara, we cannot make him standing, because there are different reasons, like even worldly people or like even human beings cannot withstand standing for a long time. If you go to a new place and somebody makes you stand, you feel bad. So it's a similar way of telling that, okay, I have an asana for you to sit. So one thing is like to respect Ishvara, and the second thing is, since this is going to take a long time, therefore you have to be seated. So this puja is like the Manasa puja that is part of spiritual sadhana, doesn't like assume such an Ishvara and assume that, okay, Ishvara is sitting in front. It is as if Ishvara is sitting. That means it's not even as if, it is Ishvara sitting. when we close our eyes and imagine a throne and Shiva sitting there, it is Shiva sitting there. Shiva is really sitting there. Therefore, that's why like asanam is there. And hima jalaihi snanam. Then I have like very cool water. Hima means like generally hima means like snow. But here hima means like very cold. Jalaihi snanam. I have like kept cool water to bathe you. So that means like, it means like as like even like what, even as we take bath daily and then get ourselves stressed, we should imagine that okay, there is cool water for Shiva to get bath. So you are bathing Shiva. And then Divya Ambaram, I have like very divine cloth for you, and an asanam which is filled with very various ratnas. And this Divyambaram is Nana Ratna Vibhushitam. It is like it has lot, many jewels, many diamonds in it. And Mrigamada Modankitam Chandanam. So I have like for your Chandanam, I have sandalwood, like I have Chandanam mixed with various other like musk or other like other things which for your body to put in your body, so that like paste in your body, so that your body is like, one, it is bright, and two, it like gives beautiful smell. And then Jati Champaka Bilva Patra Rachitam. So, and I have like flower offerings that I have is Jati Champakam Bilva Patra Rachitam Pushpam. That Pushpam, the flower that I offer you, that means not flower exactly, it's garland that I offer you, is with Jati. Jati means jasmine. Champakam, Champaka Pushpam. Bilva Patram, Bilva Patra. And that garland is made up of like these three. Bilva Patram is like quite famous for Shiva. Shiva is known to become happy with Bilva Patra. So that is the garland that I have. Then I have Dupam. Cha Dupam Tata. Similarly, Deepam. I have Deepam as well. So I have a Deepam, a lamp. Dupam is there. And I have a garland to put over you. And there is a like cool water to have bath you first. And then I have an asanam filled with various diamonds, jewels. And then a cloth which is very beautiful and which has lot of precious jewels in it. And then like Chandanam and other things as well. So this thing, Deva Dayanidhe, Dayanidhe Deva Pashupate, Dayanidhi, Dayanidhi means, Nidhi means like treasure kind, Daya means mercy or compassion. So you who are filled with compassion, Deva, Deva means like a person who is, Deva again is similar to like Shiva. So Deva means something which is bright. Pashupate, Pashupati. Pashu means like in the Shaiva system, Pashu is, Pashu means even Jivas are called Pashus. Anything that is bound or like is in bondage is called Pashu. So Pashupate, you are the Lord or the master of Pashus or bonded beings. Master or the Lord of bonded beings, because you are not bonded, you are liberated. And Hrit Kalpitam, whatever I have imagined or created in my mind, Grihyatam. O Pashupati, O Dayanidhi, O Deva, Grihyatam, accept this. So, O Lord, like whatever I am offering here through my mind, please accept it. So again, like Dayanidhi, you can go on speaking about like the compassion and other things about Ishvara, but that's off the track. So we can discuss some other time. So this is the first loka, that first thing is having like bathing the Ishvara, bathing the Lord, then adoring or like making him, dressing him with beautiful cloth, and then making him sit in a beautiful throne, and then like offering a garland as well as Dupam and Deepam. So again, like in while Amma, when she explains or guides us to meditate. She explains like a lot of other things as well. We can even go to the extent of the crown, the a necklace, and the, what to say, the waist part, the hip part, the feet, and all those things can be concentrated. So if it is a Devi, you can concentrate that Uddiyanam, and all those things are there. If for Ishvara as well, you can concentrate on those things, but that Shankara doesn't go into that depth here. So that is the first shloka about like, oh Ishvara, I have about the particular form and where Ishvara is sitting. So this is Hrit Kalpitam, this is has been like given. So Dhyanidhi, since you are Dhyanidhi, therefore you would accept. So though it is a request for accepting Grihyatam, but still the word Dhyanidhi in itself means that such a person would accept. And Deva, he is like bright, so he can illumine people. And since he is Pashupati, he is the lord of the master of bond, people who are in bondage. So by my offering, he will accept it because he is compassionate, and because of his compassion, he, and since he is bright and he is the lord of bonded beings, therefore out of his compassion he will relieve me of my bondage. That is what is meant here. The next shloka is Sauvarne Navaratna Kandarachite Patre Dritam Payasam Bhakshim Panchavidam Payo Dadiyutam Ramba Phalam Panakam Shakanamayutam Jalam Ruchikaram Karpura Kandojvalam Tambulam Manasamaya Virachitam Bhaktya Prabhu Svikuru. Next is like, since the Lord has come, we have like given a throne for him, decorated him, so the next thing is to make him like offer things to him. So the offering that I have is Sauvarne Navaratna Kandarachite Patre, with a patram which is Sauvarnam. Sauvarnam means which is like golden bowl. Navaratna Kanda Rajitam, that which is, which has Navaratna. I'm not sure about, I'm weak in like most of these things, so I'm not sure who which are the Navaratnam, but that would be like the pavilion and all those things. And I don't know the names, so you can find out if you really want to, you can find out. But it just means like Navaratnam. That patram is made up of Navaratnam, and then Payasam. And there is Payasam, there is like Payasam is there in that patram, in that particular plate, in that particular bowl, I have Payasam. Then Panchavidam Bhakshyam, there are five types of food that I have made up of Payo Dadiyutam, made up of milk and curd. Payo means water, Dadi means curd. Ramba Phalam Panakam, bananas and different vegetables. And Jalam, Shakana Mayutam Jalam, that Jalam which is scented with camphor. It is generally accepted that the water which is scented with camphor, water which has the Karpura Jalam, is something which is very pure and which smells good and which is good for health as well. Ruchikaram, it is like really Ruchi means tasteful. It's really tasteful. Karpura Kandojvalam. I think I might have got this wrong, the wording. Shakana Mayutam means like, that means the leaf, like a bitter leaf or like whatever in ancient times people used to chew. And Karpura Kandojvalam Jalam. So that Jalam which is mixed with Karpura. Tambulam. I have kept all this in a plate. Tambulam. And in what tambulam? Manasa virachitam. So manasa virachitam, that tambulam which has been created by my mind. Maya, by me. Bhaktya, by devotion. O Prabhu, Svikuru, accept this. So the first shloka was about like Ishvara and like the Ishvara's form and thing. Here it is about whatever all we are offering. The first shloka spoke about Ishvara's compassionate nature, And the second shloka speaks about our attitude towards Ishvara. That is why it says Bhaktya. So Bhakti is something very important. Ishvara, like if there is, like if we are in bonded, though like the reality is that everybody is liberated, everybody is Nitya Shuddha Buddha Mukta Subhavoham Shantoham Prakriti Paraha. That is what Shankara says in Brahma Jnana Mala. Everybody is Nitya Shuddha Buddha Muktam. Nitya Shuddha, ever pure. Nitya Buddha, ever enlightened. Nitya Mukta, ever liberated. Because there is only one entity, then our very nature is that entity, therefore we are liberated. But still, because of avidya, because of ajnanam, we seem to be bonded. Even as a person, like even as the story goes, like a person who has forgotten himself, or like the king, the prince who forgot, who was led away from his father, thought that he was a beggar. The Prince and the Pauper story is quite popular. I don't know whether you have read it. Yeah, but the thing is, a person, the prince forgot that he is a prince. He started living with beggars. He started begging. Then somebody told him, you are the prince. He becomes very happy. There was nothing newly created. He was always a prince, but he had forgotten it. How did I forget? Ajnana. Why? There is no, it cannot be explained. If you are ignorant, nuclear physics. I am ignorant of nuclear physics. So if you are ignorant, will you try to find out how I became ignorant? You cannot answer it. How I became ignorant, I cannot answer. Then what can I do? And what should I do? I should learn. I should get knowledge so that ignorance of nuclear physics vanishes. Similar is the case here. How I became ignorant about my nature of Brahman? It cannot be answered. Then what is to be done? What is to be done is get knowledge. Get the knowledge that I am Brahman, so that the jnanam. Ajnanam is anirvachaniyam. You cannot say whether, how it came, where it came and all. Somehow it is there now. It seems to be there. Get rid of it. So when darkness is there, nobody analyzes like where from darkness came, how it came and all. You just lit a lamp, light. That's it. So similarly, here like, everyone is the self, is ever liberated, but somehow ajnanam seems to be there. But how can we say that ajnanam is there? Because we are not liberated. We don't feel ourselves as liberated. We don't feel the bliss which is our nature. The moment we experience bliss, the moment we are always blissful, irrespective of time, irrespective of space, irrespective of surrounding, then we can say that we are liberated and no longer in ignorance. But until that time, there is ignorance. So, if ignorance is, then there should be somebody who is bonded. Who is ignorant is bonded. So, if we are bonded, then there should be somebody who is already liberated. We can say the balance, like the balance of good and bad. Similarly, if a person is bonded, then there should be something which is liberated. Bondage and liberation. These dual notions, that is why Shankara says that Nitya Muktam, ever liberated, that means there is no scope for bondage. If he had said Muktam, that means like liberation means that itself brings in the concept of bondage. Because both are negative. Opposites always have to exist. But here, Nitya Muktam, it is ever liberated, that means there is no scope of bondage and liberation. It is beyond both bondage and liberation. It is something which is always there. But since we are bonded, there should be somebody who is liberated. And that liberated person, since he attained liberation, therefore he can help us to get liberated. But he can help us only if he is compassionate. He can say that, okay, I know nuclear physics, but I won't teach anyone because I don't want to. Then aren't people like ignorant people? Shouldn't you help them? I don't care. That means like there is no compassion there. Though like we can also question compassion and all, like if a person is liberated, then he will not have any desire in the world. So here it's, I'm just like explaining as to why that Ishvara is compassionate. So, or like just explaining that only such a compassionate Ishvara can help us. So that means like that liberated person has to be compassionate. Why is that liberated person compassionate? that liberated person is compassionate because it is his need that we realize. Why is his need? Because he has become the various bonded jivas. As long as the bonded jivas are bonded, he is also as if bonded. That means he is our very nature. If he is our very nature, then he will want us to realize him, because only when then he becomes really liberated. So he is compassionate. That is the reason of the compassion of Ishvara. So he is, the first shloka speaks about the compassion of such an Ishvara, whose compassion alone can take us from liberation. He can just say, I don't care, but he doesn't do that for various reasons. We don't need to analyze that. But he is a compassionate Ishvara who will be there to guide us. So that is about the compassion of the Ishvara. Mere compassion of the Ishvara alone is not enough. We need to have compassion of the liberated person is there, but still we need to, the bonded person needs to have the desire that let me be liberated. I need liberation. So that desire is required. Along with that desire, when that desire is there, then there will be, that person will seek the liberated person in order to get liberated. That seeking with real desire is called devotion. So devotion is when a person really seeks Ishvara with all earnestness, the earnestness to get liberated. That is real devotion. So the first shloka spoke about the compassion of the Ishvara, and the second shloka is speaking about the bhakti that a devotee needs to have. So the second shloka was different, offering like what all will be offered. So third shloka is about the ambience or the celebration around. So the first shloka is about the form, second shloka is about like whatever is being offered, and the third shloka is about the ambience around. Chatram chamarayur yugam vyajanakam chadarshakam nirmalam veena beri mridanga kahalakala geetam cha nrityam tatha saashtangam pranati stutir bahuvida hyetat samastam maya sankalpena samarpitam tava vibho Pujam Grihana Prabhu. So even as like we all like kind of celebrations, we are not just that the modern era is used to partying daily, partying every night, but in early time, ancient times as well, they used to do that, but they used to do as an offering to Ishvara. So like the celebrations are going on. Chatram Chamrayor Yugam Vyajanakam Chadarshakam Nirmalam. There is a spotless mirror, there is a fan, there are other things like Veena, Beri. Veena is there, Beri. Beri is a kind of a drum. Mridangam is there, Kahalakala, and that it's like sounding very good. Geetam cha nrityam tata. There is Geetam, there is singing as well as dancing. We can say it is like a Rasalila, similar to Rasalila of Krishna. That is what is mentioned here. And then like what am singing and dancing is there, then what am I really doing? Sashtangam pranati. I am offering my full prostration. Sashtangam, it is a yogic terminology, but sa ashtangam, with ashtangam. So it is ideally like you have to like two hands, the two knees, two feet, it adds up to eight, like. But that means it's Sashtanga Pranam is when few parts of your body really don't touch, your hips don't touch the ground. So it's like your 2 feet, or really you should say, yeah, 2 feet, fingers of the feet, and then 2 knees, that makes it 4, then 2 hands, and then like the chest and the forehead, that makes it 8. So that is Sashtanga Pranam, and though people cannot do that because like it's very tough to like keep your hips up without touching the ground, so it's like Sashtanga means completely falling down, fully falling down means, it also means like the ego is totally surrounding. So Sashtanga Pranamam is there, Stutir Bahuvida. Bahuvida Stutihi. And different kinds of Stuti, different kinds of praises, hymns are there. Hi Etat Samastam. Thus all these, whatever I have mentioned, Maya, by me, Sankalpena Savarpitam, has been offered by Sankalpam, by my imagination. Tava Vibho, Tava for you. Vibho, O Vibhu, Vibhu is a person who is all pervasive. Prabho, O Prabho, O Lord, who is all pervasive. Pujam Grihana, accept my puja. So with this, the puja description of the puja ends. That means like the form, various offerings, various music and everything going, praises, everything. I am doing it in my mind. O Ishvara, O Shambhu, O Mahadeva, O Vibhu, who is present everywhere, please accept this. That means like when there is compassion, when the compassion of the Ishvara, we accept Ishvara to be compassionate. And Ishvara is always compassionate. So it's like the ever-present sunlight, the grace is always there, but we have to accept that particular grace. So first thing is we have to accept Ishvara, and Ishvara is compassionate, and then we have to have devotion. When both are there, there is total surrender. That is what is mentioned in the third shloka. Total samarpanam. Sankalpena samarpitam. There is total surrender. And when total surrender is there, Ishvara accepts it. When Ishvara accepts it, then you become, instead of being a Pashu, instead of being bonded, you come out of bondage and are liberated. And this is about Manasa, the puja that is being done. So, what attitude should I really have? This is about just the manasa puja, the mental puja that I am doing. But when I am acting in the world, what should be my mental state? So, puja is not meant for a particular duration alone. It is something that should merge with our daily life. Any activity that we do should be puja. In such a puja, what is the comparison? Like with the any puja that I do, I have to relate it to Ishvara. I will have to relate it to Shiva. I will have to relate it to my Ishta Devata. How is that done? That is beautifully explained in the fourth shloka. This is also like similar thing is being explained in Saundarya Lahari, Japo Jalpah Shilpam Sakalamapi Mudra Virachana Shankaracharya in Saundarya Lahari as well. But this is a really beautiful explanation. So the fourth shloka is Atma Tvam Girijamatis Sahacharaha Prana Shariram Griham Pujate Vishayopabhu Garachana Nidra Samadhi Stitihi Sanchara Padayor Pradakshina Vidhi Stotrani Sarva Giraha Yadyat Karma Karomi Tattadakilam Shambho Tavaradhanam. Atmatvam, like it's a kind of analogy or like relating it to our daily life activities. So everything is related to Shiva. Atma or the self is the controller, is the illuminator, is the witness, is that which is blissful. So that my Atma is Tvam. My self, you are my self. And Matihi Girija, my intellect. It means like Antakarnam as well, we can say. So the Antakarnam or the intellect which guides me, which guides the Jiva towards Atma is Girija, is Parvati, is your wife. Even as Parvati is part of you, is like fills half your body, as well as Parvati is always with you, always devoted to you. Similarly, my intellect has the self reflected in it. That means it is really devoted. But only because of my ignorance and because of my attraction to the world, I as the Jiva divert that intellect from the Atman. But my intellect is your consort, your like wife. That means my intellect from now on will be always attached to the Atma, to the Atma of Shiva. Sahacharaha pranaha. My pranas are your sahachara. Sahachara means attendance. So even as the attendants look after me, look after you, your attendants look after you, similarly my pranas are looking after my Atma. So it is a beautiful symbolism. Shariram griham. Shariram is the place where Atma is there. So the Shariram is your house where you stay. And what is the puja? Puja te vishaya upabhoga rachana. Like puja. Puja is like enjoyment. Vishaya bhogam. Enjoyment of the sense objects is puja. My of the any enjoyment. Any enjoyment or any sensual pleasure is in fact by seeking bliss. That means any enjoyment is for the Atman. The Atman by ignorance becomes the Jiva and thereby seeks bliss. And all experiences, the entire, whatever we experience, the sensual pleasures, sense object experience, is for the Atma. So the puja. Puja is for the Ishvara, even as the various enjoyment of sensual or sensual pleasure is for the Atman. So my sensual pleasure, like whatever I experience in the world, Vishaya Upabhogam, is puja for you. And then Nidra, sleep. Nidra Samadhi Stitihi. Nidra is state of Samadhi. My Nidra is the state where I get bliss from you. It is a state of Samadhi where I am immersed in you as the Atman. And then walking Sancharaha Padayoho Pradakshina Vidhihi. Padayoho Sancharaha, walking or movement with my feet is Pradakshina, means like what do you call, circumambulating, what I think, yeah, that is the word, like, yeah, is Pradakshinam for you. Stotrani sarva gira. Whatever I speak, gira, whatever words I speak is stotram, is your stuti, is your praise. So yadyat karma, and like this is about like few activities, like my Atma is, you are my Atma, the intellect is your wife who is always devoted to the Atma, the pranas are the attendants which work only for the Atman, the body is where the Atman stays, and the puja, any activity that I do is a puja for you. When I sleep, that is Samadhi. Samadhi means where I am focused or immersed in you. And then wherever I walk, whatever walk or movement I do, that is Pradakshinam for you. And whatever I speak is your Stuti. Yad yad karma karomi. Whatever actions I do. Tat tad akilam. All those. Shambho tava aradhanam. O Shambhu, O Ishvara, it is your aradhanam. Is praising you, is thanking you, is an offering to you. So this is a very beautiful way of telling that, okay, O Lord, you are in the, like my body is your house where you stay. You are my Atman. The intellect is your wife who is always devoted to you. The prana which makes me living is your attendance. And whatever sensual pleasure I experience, whatever sense objects I enjoy, that is puja for you. That means everything that I do is your aradhanam. Everything that I do is related to you. Everything that I do has your part in it. Everything that I do has to become merged in you. Everything that I do is nothing but you alone, without any name and form. So even though the various activities I do, various things that are around me, various people around me are different in name and form, but I am, everything is but you alone, everything. So it is kind of removing the nama rupam and then going beyond the nama rupam and seeing Ishvara everywhere. That is what is called aradhanam. It is the same as prapatti which we discussed few days back. So like it's total offering there. So when I do like sensual pleasure, when I eat, oh, you shouldn't eat. Sannyasis, if you are realized, you should ever be immersed in Ishvara, you shouldn't eat. There is nothing like that, because eating itself is a puja. Oh, it's not about just about eating. That's why Shankara says, Vishayopa Bhoga Rachana. If the worst activity that a person can do, killing, Is it puja? Yes, it is puja, because dharma vyada of, like, in Mahabharata speaks about dharma vyada, a butcher. Yudhishthira or Narada was guided by Vishnu or Ishvara to dharma vyada for getting knowledge. Dharma vyada was a butcher who was used to cut things, but he used to be ever focused. He knew that everything is an illusion. He used to offer everything to Ishvara. He used to see everything as Ishvara. Therefore, he was realized. So, it doesn't mean activities. So, any activity, even if it is a worldly activity, if it is an activity of getting, like, becoming a slave of your tongue, or becoming a, even sexual desires or sexual activities as well, everything is puja. If we remember that everything is puja, and with the knowledge that everything is Ishvara, because there is nothing apart from you, therefore everything is an offering to you. Everything is an offering to you by remembering you that it is you alone, making it merge with you. That activities become aradhanam. When it becomes aradhanam, that leads to purification of mind and thereby to realization. So it doesn't, the last line is kind of summarizing of the three lines of this shloka. Yad yad karma karomi tat tad akhilam shambho tava aradhanam. Whatever I do is an aradhanam of you. It's something which is related to you, something which is towards you, something which is focused to you. So, like, there is a very, I forgot the shloka. Yeah, there is a famous shloka in, like, in Sandhyavandanam, which says, at the end of Sandhyavandanam, which says, Kaena vacha manasendriyerva buddhyatmanava prakriti svabhava karomi yadyat sakalam parasmaya narayana iti samarpayami. Kaena vacha manasendriyerva kaya vakmanah buddhyatmanava, through buddhi or atma, prakriti svabhava, by my own inner nature. There are many vasanas, like, even when we are in the spiritual path, we may have vasanas. So it doesn't mean that we are bonded, we are limited, but we have to offer that vasanas as well. That means it becomes whatever by nature I do as well. Prakriti svabhava karomi yadyat sakalam, yadyat sakalam karomi, whatever I do, parasmai Narayana iti samarpayami, I offer it to Narayana. It's the same meaning here, that yadyat karma karomi tattad akhilam shambho tava aradhanam. Whatever I do is an offering to you. So the next is kind of summarizing. Okay, if that is the case, if all actions are there, then if I do bad actions, what would happen? If I do good actions, if I do bad actions, if I do actions which are pratishiddham, Shruti speaks about various types of karmas. So the basic categorization, we can say nitya karma, naimittika karma, pratishiddham and nishiddha karma. Nitya naimittika means, like, nitya karmas like sandhya vandanam, agnihotra and other things. Naimittika karmas are karmas which are, like, which come once in a while depending on situation, like when a person marries, he wears one more punul, or he has an upanayana kind of thing. When a child is born, like, there is garbha, garbhadhanam and all those are naimittika karma. Pratishiddha karmas are those karmas which are not to be done, like drinking adultery is a kind of, like, pratishiddha karma. There are few pratishiddha karmas in Shruti mentions. So what about, like, if all karma I offer to you, yadyat karma karomi tattad akhilam shambho tava aradhanam, I offer all actions to you, but what if bad actions? So what does that happen? That means we do bad actions, we are forced to do by our nature, by others, by environment, by surrounding. We are all not like liberated so that we do only good karma. So, like, if we do bad karma, what would happen? So at the end of Manasa Puja, when a person does Manasa Puja, first thing is, like, offering everything to Ishvara and all those things, and then saying that, okay, whatever action I do, I offer it to you. Then this attitude should be there always, not just Manasa Puja. Similarly, once we are at the end of the puja, we have to say that, oh Lord, if I have done something wrong, then please accept my apologies. That means whenever we are doing any action, we should say that, okay, I am offering it to Ishvara. By any chance, if I have done something wrong, oh Ishvara, pardon me. That means like that is a kind of surrendering of the ego. As well as like when we offer that, okay, whatever bad things as well I have done, I offer it to you. That means we are offering totally. That means we are completely surrendering. When we offer all actions irrespective of whether it is good or bad, whether it is dharma or adharma, whether it is like nitya naimittika or nishiddha karma, prohibited or non-prohibited, then like we cease to be the karta. We offer everything to Ishvara. That means we cease to be the karta. When we cease to be the karta, we cease to be the bhokta. A person who doesn't do an action cannot reap the benefit of the action. If I eat, my hunger will subdue. If you eat, my hunger will not subdue, because you are the actor, you are the person doing the action of eating, so you will become the bhokta. The bhoktrutvam there is, the bhogyam there is satisfying of the hunger. So if I cease to be the karta, I cease to be the bhokta. When I am the karta, I am the bhokta. When I am the bhokta, if the bhogyam, if the phalam is good, I become happy. If the phalam is bad, I become sad. And that phalam in turn leads to again and again karma, vasana, and everything goes. But when I cease to be the karta, when I offer everything to Ishvara, even good, bad, knowingly done good, knowingly done bad, unknowingly done good, unknowingly done bad, then I cease to be the bhokta. When I cease to be the bhokta, then I become a sakshi. When I am the sakshi of all activities, then I am one with Kutastha, or I am one with Akshara Brahman, or I am one with Ishvara himself. So that is the last shloka, which says that I offer everything to Ishvara, whether it is good or bad. Specifically mentioning that I am offering it everything. It's the same as like Kayana Vacha Manasa Indriya, but it's like a better way of putting it. That's it. Karacharana kritam va kayajam karmajam va shravana nayanajam va manasam va paradham vihitam avihitam va sarvam etachamasva jaya jaya karunabde shri mahadeva shambhu. Karacharana kritam va, by my hands or feet. Kayajam karmajam va, by my body or karmajam, by the various actions, by various actions that I have done. Shravana nayanajam va, by my ears or eyes. Manasam va, or by the mind. Aparadam, if I have done something wrong, if I have committed any sins through any of these things. Vihitam avihitam va, whether it is prohibited by scriptures, whether it is nishiddha karma or not. Sarvametat shamasva, O Lord, pardon, please forgive me for all those. Whatever I have done, whatever sins by mistake, by knowingly or unknowingly I have done, through any means, O Lord, forgive me. Jaya Jaya Karunabde, Sri Mahadeva Shambhu. Karunabde, Karunabde is the same as Dayanidhi, ocean of compassion. Sri Mahadeva Shambhu, O Mahadeva Shambhu, O ocean of compassion, Jaya Jaya, may you, like may you hail. So Jaya Jayam, Jayakaram is a way of telling, be like totally offering and pleasing the Lord. It is a way of pleasing the Lord, so that the Lord will become happy, compassionate Lord will become happy and thereby give us liberation. So the fourth shloka spoke about whatever actions I do, it is your aradhanam. And if everything is your aradhanam, whether it is good or bad. So if I commit some sins, I like generally in scriptural, in the Dharma Shastra, it says that nitya naimittika karma. If you don't do nitya, like nitya naimittika and nishiddha karma. If you do nishiddha karma, if you do prohibited actions, you will incur sins. If you don't do nitya naimittika karma as well, you will incur sins. You should do nitya karma. That is what various people like. It's a controversial subject, but people generally have the opinion that nitya naimitta karma is always to be done. If you don't do sandhya vandanam, that is like incurring sin. But if I have done such sins, there is nothing like sandhya vandanam or drinking, because both actions are puja. Puja te vishayopabhoga rachana. Everything is a puja, and puja cannot be bad. But if there is some sin that I have incurred by not doing nityanaimiti karma or doing pratishiddha karma, vihitam or avihitam, O Lord, forgive me. Forgive me so that those sins don't come to me. So that, like, let me be liberated from all the sins. Let me be liberated from the bondage of karma. So that this ends it. Maybe if you want, I will chant just the entire thing together once.
रत्नैकल्पितमासनं
हिमजलैः स्नानं च दिव्याम्बरं नानारत्नविभूषितं मृगमदा मोदाङ्कितं चन्दनं जातिचम्पकबिल्वपत्ररचितं पुष्पं च धूपं तथा दीपं देवदयानिदे पशुपतेः हृत्कल्पितं गृह्यताम् रत्नैकल्पितमासनं हिमजलैः स्नानं च दिव्याम्बरं नानारत्नविभूषितं मृगमदा मोदाङ्कितं चन्दनं जातिचम्पकबिल्वपत्ररचितं पुष्पं च धूपं तथा दीपं देवदयानिदे पशुपते हृत्कल्पितं गृह्यताम् सौवर्णे नवरत्नकण्डरचिते पात्रे धृतं पायसं भक्ष्यं पञ्चविधं पयोदधियुतं रम्भाफलं पानकं शाकानामयुतं जलं रुचिकरं कर्पूरकण्डोज्ज्वलम् ताम्बूलं मनसा मया विरचितं भक्त्या प्रभो स्वीकुरु छत्रं चामरयोर्युगं व्यजनकं चादर्शकं निर्मलं वीणाबेरिमृदङ्गकाहलकला गीतं च नृत्यं तथा साष्टाङ्गं प्रणतिस्तुतिर्बहुविधा ह्येतत्समस्तं मया संकल्पेण समर्पितं तव विभो पूजां गृहाण प्रभो आत्मा त्वं गिरिजा मतिः सहचराः प्राणा शरीरं गृहं पूजा ते विषयोपभोगरचना निद्रा समाधिस्थितिः सञ्चारपदयो प्रदक्षिणविधि तोत्राणि सर्वा गिरः यद्यत् कर्म करोमि तत्तदखिलं शम्भो तवाराधनं करचरणकृतं वा कायजं कर्मजं वा श्रवणनयनजं वा मानसं वापराधं विहितम् अविहितं वा सर्वम् एतत् क्षमस्व जय जय करुणाब्धे श्री महादेव शंभू।